All right, chapter 17. As I said, we're going to be repeating some things, Proverbs we've already had. We'll have some new ones in here. But a couple of the subjects that's already come up this morning are covered in this Proverbs as we're studying. I recognize them. Number one verse was, better is a dry morsel of quietness therewith than a house full of feasting with strife. We've covered that. They've said it in other words, it's better to have less in a peaceful home than have plenty in a home that's in turmoil. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're the ones that control, or should be the ones that control the atmosphere in our home. That's a repeat. It's a repeat because God wants you to have that in your memory bank. Number two, a servant that dealeth wisely shall rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part in the inheritance among the brethren. This was particularly true back in the day of the Bible, where they had servants, and some of the servants were so oriented to the family, or so helpful to the family, much more so than the actual children they had, that they would take rule over them. The children would be would be in disobedience to the family, where the servant itself would be in agreement. Even Abraham, when he was talking about his kid, he says, his child, he says, Abraham said, one born in my house can be my heir. In other words, one of the servants that were born into his house could be an heir to him. That's in Genesis, by the way, 15:2-3. Covers that concept. I think his servant's name was Eliezer. Okay? Now, verse 3. The refining of the pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but Jehovah tried the hearts. You have to smelt silver to get the impurities out. You have to heat gold to get the impurities out. And the heart, God will take care of that and get the impurities out. He'll either do it while we're working, while we're still living on this earth, or he'll certainly take care of it in the final day. You know, God tested Abraham when he told him that he had to sacrifice his only son Isaac. And so God was in fact testing Abraham's faith. And he tests ours. It's when we disobey and we refuse to be tested, or we dislike his testing, that we get ourselves in trouble.
Jared, we just discussed Friday, we have a class on Saul, and you know how a human being judges a person by what we see or experience that they do, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how he brought Saul to be Paul and how he changed a whole heart, that should tell us we cannot judge a person simply by what we think we know about them.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it to God. You know, a lot of people say, well, never going to convert this person. You don't never know. You don't never know how God's going to work in their lives and bring about that they will maybe be like Paul, be one of the more dedicated people to him. Then even the ones that brought him to Christ.
Do we even judge people by what we hear someone say about them?
Yeah.
And we fall into that those categories of I don't like that person, I must get to know him, you know. But my argument against my brother was very convincing until he had a chance to speak.
Yeah.
So sometimes what we hear about somebody is not true, and we make a judgment without getting to know those people or getting to hear their side of the story.
We can't look in a person's heart, but God can.
No. We don't have that talent.
Mm-mm.
You know, a lot of times, sometimes you can't see from but anything but your own perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a way somehow to see from the other person's perspective, you might be able to come to an agreement.
Yeah.
Might not look as bad from or as heinous as it.
There's always two sides to a story.
Yeah. Right. We've had many proverbial verses up to this point there where we think we know the truth. We think we're right, and we don't want to listen to anybody else. We don't even want to hear what anybody else has to say. Mm-hmm. We've already made up our mind. Mm-hmm. And we're warned against that. Seek counsel.
And Jerry, I was thinking too, you know, the Bible tells us to be good to our love our enemies. And that enemy may have heard things about us. And in doing good, or that person may change their minds as well. I mean, it goes
absolutely
both ways.
Absolutely.
So I think that's important to remember, too, that we continue to be strong and be the light that the others need to see. So they won't say, well, I heard you were da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But that goes the other way as well. So, okay.
And it's not so much the gossip as the carrier of the gossip is
right.
Committing the biggest sin. That's it.
Yeah, it's election season. Here we go. Yeah. It's all what we hear. We don't know these people, so we have to be careful.
Number four, an evildoer giveth heed to wicked lips, and a liar giveth ear to mischievous tongue. They're those people. They live in this world, and they are of this world. They will listen to whatever gossip or whatever evil is out there. They look for it. They're actually going around listening for it. And
you know, Jerry, we always think of, well, that other person is so much worse than I am. But God says, no, you're all alike.
That's right. But there are people out there who just want to hear evil things. They just want to hear them so they can
feel better about themselves.
That's right. And then the second part is the liar giveth ear to a mischievous tongue. If you're a liar, then you'll want to listen to lies. If you're a liar, then you're gonna be attuned to people lying. Okay. Number five. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad of calamities shall not go unpunished. Mocketh here in respect to this word means shows no respect for God. You mocketh him. And the maker, of course, of these poor people is the maker of us all, and that's God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And he that is glad at calamity. When you're glad when somebody else has fallen or failed, or if you're glad that they're being punished, then you'll not go unpunished yourself. Even those who have hurt you, and you see justice coming back on them, you don't rejoice in that. That's God's business. You're interfering with God's business. That's his territory. Never make fun of poor people, regardless whether it's of their dress or their circumstances. Never, ever. Because they're God's people, just like we are. Number six, here we go. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Who's children's children? Grandchildren. Grandbabies, grandchildren, they're the crown of old people, of old men, whether it be men or women, and the glory of children are their fathers that have to bring glory to them. Of course, we've had many verses where the children harm the image of their mother and father, too. Yeah.
This verse right here is what I lived through last night. I babysitted my grandchild, Dawson, all night while Christopher was at an award ceremony getting firefighter of the year. Talking about a proud dad on both ends.
How about that?
That verse pretty much wraps up what I
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, before y'all came in this morning, Judy had a whole reel of pictures of her. She wasn't showing them on the screen down there.
Yeah, yeah.
We all do. We all do.
Hey, Jerry?
Yeah.
It took me a while to find the verse that I want to refer to. It's probably a book you haven't heard from in a while. In regards to what we just read, he who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. That's the NIV version of Proverbs 17:5. Where in Obadiah, the book of Obadiah, starting on verse 12 and following, it states, you should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune.
Right.
Nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction. Nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, or look down on them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor see their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head, just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink, and as if they had never been. Again, the point there is, yeah, we may have an enemy. There may be someone you dislike, even hate. But again, what does the Lord have his people to do? You take the higher ground and realize that God will render due justice to whomever at the appropriate time. But we're not to gloat, as it says here. We're not to say, you got your just deserves.
That's right.
You know, shame on us. Because again, it's misfortune. This is Obadiah. Obadiah is the only book, Obadiah, that started at verse 12 and following.
That's a great description of all the circumstances that we are not to mess with. They're God's territory right there. He will take revenge. He will get justice. That's not ours to do.
Right, that's true. We may understand that, but the point too that's driven here, I believe, is you don't be happy about it.
No.
Exactly.
No.
You don't say hooray. No. You know, it's all unfortunate because again, who's here without sin? Mm-hmm. That's the first time. That'd be nobody. And again, we should not gloat over it, not celebrate that their disaster. Again, turn to God and have him tell us how we should respond.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as Scripture says, love your enemies. There is the opportunity not to take advantage of them.
Amen.
But to, again, help them up out of their calamity.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see God working in you, through you, for his glory.
You know, if we would look at situations like Doug just put out a little while ago, put yourself in that person's shoes and see how you would feel in the situation. And I think then you can appreciate why the Lord said, love your enemy. Put yourself in their place and see how you would feel. And I think that would alleviate all this gloating and you got what you deserved or he or she got what she deserved. No, that's not the way the Lord looks at it.
You know, a lot of our enemies are in our mind.
Yes.
It's one of those things we perceive that they feel, or perceive that they've said, or heard that they said, and maybe some circumstances that was not intended the way it came back to us on. So the false enemies anyway. And so even those that actually harm us, that we are, you know, got to have that attitude.
Yeah.
this country here with.
I think one of the main points we have to keep in mind all at all times, and what we are studying now keeps coming back over and over and over to us. We tend to, because we live in this world, we're supposed to be the ones that set the example, not the ones that conform to what we see.
Exactly.
And we are more apt to want to fit in, want to be accepted. So we do what others do to fit in, to be accepted, rather than, there's no shame in standing alone, especially if you're standing for God. And that's what we have to realize. This is our duty. This is our job. We're not saying we got to put ourselves on a pedestal. Not that. We've humbled ourselves. But we're going to be standing out because we are different.
Yeah.
And we don't do what the world does. You know, like you said, we don't make fun because something happened to somebody else. You know, and it would probably make them sit up and pay attention. And they say, well, I did this evil to him, and then he comes back and treats me nice. You know, well, who does that? You know, that will make him possibly realize that it's something different. You know, maybe and sometimes it won't. But that's still our job. Like you said, we leave that to the Lord. But our job, well, we don't be judged for what do we do. And we suppose that's letting our light shine. And we tend to forget that because we want to conform to the world to be accepted. We don't have to be accepted. Once Christ accepts us, that's all we need.
And to stay on that point, remember, that's the whole purpose of our existence, is to fear God and obey His commandments. And that's God telling us what to do, how to do it, when to do it if you use the Spirit correctly, and pray for wisdom, guidance. We have all those avenues to help us do what He wants us to do. And again, the showing that we are God's children, that sheds a light on this dark world. And that's what this world needs, is to see God's light through us.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps, makes a difference. Again, people of the evil will find it hard to fathom that, mm-hmm. wait a minute, I was against you, but you're feeding me, you're taking care of me. That's right, because that's what God wants me to do. I answer to God, and I am given the capability to help you through this, so let's get together. And again, you may think, or you may find yourself physically alone, per se, but we're never alone. Again, Scripture tells us we are never, ever alone. Never. And so, don't let the circumstances trick you into thinking that. No. We have the heavenly host up there. And if we could just, we can't see him, but we know in Scriptures where God allowed people on earth to see the multitudes of angels. You can just hear Luke. Go, Jerry. Go, Jerry. Go, Wes. Come on, Carla. Come on. Come on. We're rooting for you.
Can I just say, in there someone mentioned that sometimes we think that people don't like us, or we think that someone's against us, but also reminds us in Job 31 that it's an iniquity to be punished by the judge, and we know the judge is God, that if we rejoice at the destruction of him that hated me, but again, we are putting a curse on ourselves if we think that someone, because we don't know someone's intentions. You know, I tell myself, and I have to remind myself that, especially with my relationship with people, especially my husband, that he doesn't have a crystal ball. When I get mad at him, thinking that he should know something or he should do something the way I think it should be done, that he doesn't have a crystal ball. So when I assume that someone feels a certain way or should know a certain thing, I'm already cursing myself. And God is going to punish me for that. So we are causing ourselves harm as well in the sight of God. So if we are to be Christians and we are to love ourselves, why, again, are we putting more stumbling blocks in our way? We are causing our own selves more trouble.
Right. If you,
really, it, the whole thing comes down to two commandments: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love the other person as yourself, you don't wish harm on them. You want to do good for them. And therefore, then you live God's commandments to you. It comes down to one little word, and that's love.
Yeah, Chuck.
And then, of course, the best example of what love really is what Christ has done.
Amen.
Some of us, unfortunately, don't demonstrate love very well. Because they don't know how to do it. They don't know what it is. Their concern is me, me, me. And so I'd like to suggest that we need to love as Christ has loved. Because, again, we are our own limiting factor.
Yep.
We have our own quirks. We have our own fears. We have our own doubts. A lot of us think we give too much credence to the devil, where we know that God is the ruler of all things, everything. And he provides, constantly provides. So we need to love, I would suggest, the way Christ loves, and follow that example. And then we would do better for our brothers and sisters and for the world if we love like Christ. Not love to our own understanding, but love like Christ.
Have you ever thought, pondered over why God wants you to stay out of that territory of rejoicing when other people are getting their due punishment? I surmise that when they get their punishment, whatever it is, other people suffer because of that. They're suffering in the family. They're suffering in their kids. They're suffering in their friends, you know, that they have. Because when they're punished, they aren't the family, the father, the mother, the husband, the brother that they were before. So a lot of people suffer.
And he's come.
He's not
a destruction.
Right. He doesn't want us to be rejoicing when that person's got a lot of other people suffering with him. That had no part, maybe, in what he did.
If we truly love our neighbor as yourself, then you couldn't rejoice.
Exactly.
Right.
The rejoicing would come when the prodigal son comes home, at repentance, not as destruction.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
No man's an island.
No man's an island.
No.
You know, everybody affects everybody. Everybody affects everybody. They got somebody that loves them, and somebody that's going to be hurting when they hurt, whether they're hurting for the right reason or the wrong reason. Okay, number 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do dying lips a prince. Lofty speech. You just don't hear lofty speeches coming from foolish people, because their mindset isn't on lofty things. Their mindset is out there on foolish things or sinful things. Much less do lying lips of prince. You don't expect people who are in authority, whether they be of royalty or whether they be of elected, to be a liar or to lie to you. And it doesn't become them to do that, or deceive people by being a liar, when so much hope is put into them being in that leadership position. Here's one for you, number 8. A bribe is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it, whithersoever it returneth, it prospereth. All bribes are sin in God's eyes.
Amen.
But it's a shameful truth in this world. There's a lot of bribery going on in our government. it's mainly people wanting to get favors or special favors, and they do special favors and they take special favors. In no way is this trying to describe a bribe as being right. What it's telling you is that for him that does it, it's a special edge that he's got on people, a sinful edge, but it's a special edge that he has on other people who are not in that position to give bribes or take bribes. The man said, bribes get the job done. It's the truth. It does. And for every vote that's taken up in our, whether it be in local government or whether it be in federal government, there's influence peddled there. It is where the people peddle influence, and a lot of times it includes bribes. In fact, I think there's some congressmen up there now who are being tried for that, taking bribes. Even our President of the United States has been accused of that. It doesn't make it right, but it's there. It happens. And it's, that doesn't justify bribes. And bribes, both the giver and the taker are doing sin, or some people that do that. Yeah, Wes?
My verse was a little bit different. I didn't have a footnote for it. Mine read, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of his possessor. However, wherever he turns, he prospers. I mean, that made me kind of think of, you have something that's valuable, and it's still valuable to whoever it goes to, but it's up to the person how they uses it to bring good or to bring evil with it. You know, to cause good or to cause evil with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's whatever the gift or whatever the object is, it's still valuable.
I had the same footnote that you have. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of him who gives it.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever he turns, it prospers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bribe here, a little money there, this person. And once you get that reputation of taking bribes, by the way, it goes out to other people. Hey, this guy could be bought over here, this guy. You know, you can have your way and just give him a little money, a slip of some money.
Is it a bribe when you show people appreciation? In other words,
from the heart, it's not.
By accident.
From the heart, it's not.
By accident, I found out if people that I cared about at work, that seemed to care about me, I'd help them. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it paid dividends later.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it comes from your heart.
Yeah.
God knows your heart. He knows. Yeah, Chuck.
When we were reading that verse, 1 Timothy 6:10 seems to be the brother to that verse, where it states, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil."
Mm-hmm.
The lover of money is the root. Yeah. And that's what we run off of nowadays. Everybody wants the money.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, he that covereth a transgression seeks love, but he that harpeth on the matter separateth chief friends.
Jeremiah reads a little different. It says, whoever would foster love covers an offense. And that, to me, this verse kind of answers verse 5 that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
You yeah. know, if you love, you can't.
Perhaps you can't bring.
Yeah.
Cause him or want him harm.
This is my father's you know, one of the last ones he had and used quite often before he passed. And it's not a most popular, it's not a very popular translation. You know, New Century Version, I think it is. Everyday Study Edition, New Century Version. But it. Whoever forgives someone's sin makes a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But gossiping about sin breaks up friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm stupid. I'm kind of glad.
That's what the whole purpose of this is to get God's concept of how he wants us to live in a way that we'll remember it. And sometimes the different translations, and the King James Version is like that, they use words that we can't relate to or we can't stick in our memory bank because it's not something we hear every day.
We don't use the same. We think, even means equal. And it still does, but we don't use it in the same way
that they used to.
And a lot of the meanings lost. I mean, that's just one word. There's a lot of them.
So instead of harping on a matter that, that's like what the old saying was, beating a dead horse. You know, you just keep after it. Or having a little sack on your back, and every time you want to use it, you pull it out and wham somebody over here with it. I remember this. You said this such and such a day. You can't do that if you're going to be a godly person. You want to try to cover that up and forget about it. Put it in the past. Forgive that person and get it out of your heart. Get it out of your heart. Don't keep bringing it up. A rebuke entereth deeper into a man that hath understanding. Remember, understanding in Proverbs is always common sense. To correct, and I'm going to just rephrase this, to correct, when the correction comes to a man that hath understanding, it seeks deeper and means more to him than 100 stripes on a fool. A fool just wants to take a beating. Or is willing to take a beating, or risk taking a beating for the attitude he has, for the things that comes out of his mouth, of the sins that he commits. A wise man will accept correction. A fool rebels against correction. Basically, what he's saying there. Something we've covered. We've covered that in different wording before. So I'm hoping, because I'm recognizing it now when I'm going over it again, that hey, we've studied that before, and we talked about that, and we mentioned this, and someone brought this point up. So it'll come back. It'll come to you if you just pay attention to it. That's going to finish your class today because we'll try.